Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
St. Thomas football has competed in Division III, and they are so dominant, their conference said, "You're too good for us." They have been 126-21. In the past 8 seasons, more than 100 games over 500 in the last 8 years, with a pair of NCAA championship appearances as well. And so that was Division III. They're heading to Division I, and they'll be playing football in the Pioneer League, D1. And so D3 to D1 has never been done in one fell swoop. Joining us here on the show is their athletic director leading the way on this, Phil Esten. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course.
My first question is, when the conference said, "Hey, you guys can't be here anymore, you're too good," what was the school's reaction?
Well, you know, I started at St. Thomas about 18 months ago and walked into a conversation among presidents that was exactly that. You know, they were looking to level competitive parity. And along those conversations, ultimately decided that one way to do that was what I'll just call conference realignment, and we were realigned out. And so, you know, our reaction essentially was we need to hustle to find a place to go. We only had 2 years to find a conference. Certainly had a couple of really good options at the Division III level, possibly competing at the Division II level. But about 2 months into our assessment, we learned that there might be a path to move directly to Division I. And when you take a look at our institution, University of St. Thomas's profile, looks a lot like schools do at the Division I level, a lot like the schools do in the Pioneer Football League, schools like Butler and Drake and San Diego and Valparaiso and others in Dayton. So we decided to give it a try. You know, although it's not been done before, we thought that we might have a compelling case. And here we are 14 months later, preparing to make the transition next year.
There's no doubt the Tommies have been thoroughly dominant. Here's some of the scores from last season's football campaign. 69-3, 74-14, 51-6, 53-0. 63-15, 56-7. Some would say, well, yeah, you can't be competing at that level. But it's not like the Tommies went undefeated every single season. Mm-hmm. There was 2 losses last year as well. And it's not like every single year it's an undefeated campaign. So was there some sentiment within the university like, hey, we are losing games here. It is possible we can be beaten. Why are we getting kicked out for being too good?
Yeah, you know, I'd say for us, we really took a look at this as an institutional decision. And when you look at our institution relative to other institutions in the state, we're the second largest university in the state of Minnesota, the largest private school in the state of Minnesota. For us, the decision to try to make this transition to Division I was about as much about institutional brand reach, recognition, and telling our story more broadly than local or regional boundaries than we've done traditionally. And so really an opportunity for us to extend our brand. And when you think about the Pioneer Football League, it's a coast-to-coast conference. It's the only coast-to-coast conference there is at the Division I level. And so we're really excited to be able to tell that story, to get into some of those markets and recruit a little bit differently than we've been able to do before. So that's, you know, we looked at it as an institutional decision, not necessarily from just a competitive perspective.
Phil Esten is the AD of St. Thomas, and he's talking about the Pioneer League, which has members from San Diego, University of San Diego, all the way to Marist, which is in the Hudson Valley of New York. So truly coast to coast. Now, it's a non-scholarship league, and you guys have been non-scholarship at Division III as well. So was that attractive to you to go to a league that had non-scholarship programs?
Yeah, a couple of things were attractive to us from the Pioneer Football League perspective. One was certainly that transition we felt would be easier for us to make non-scholarship to non-scholarship. You know, there are only two conferences at the Division I level that compete in non-scholarship football. That's the Pioneer Football League and the Ivy League. And so it's good company to keep, in my opinion. That certainly was a transition that was attractive. Secondly, the schools in that conference do look a lot like the University of St. Thomas. Many of, almost all but one, are private institutions. Again, Dayton and Stetson and Marist and Valparaiso and Butler and Drake, San Diego and others. And so we felt like that was a good fit. And then, as I said before, the ability to get into the Southern California and New York and Florida and Charlotte market at Davidson and others, all the way in between, was also really attractive to us. So there were several factors that really lined up. But I'd say most of all was just the alignment from an institutional perspective. Schools that do take football seriously but do it at a non-scholarship level in Division I FCS.
Now, doesn't seem like you're one to beat your chest or to pump your program up too much, but this is kind of a funny dynamic for the listeners. If you were to tell most people this is a program going from Division III to Division I, most listeners would say, oh, man, they're going to get pummeled for a while here. And yet, there are coaches in the Pioneer League saying, No. We can't have St. Thomas come in. They're too good. Is this amazing to you to hear Division I coaches worried that maybe you're too good for them?
Well, I think that's some of that is just taking a look at the commitment that St. Thomas has had to excellence over the years, whether it's academic excellence or athletic excellence. Certainly our facilities already look a lot like the facilities across the Pioneer Football League. So we think that, we'll have competitive facilities pretty quickly. And also, a lot of the student athletes that we've got on our team right now have been recruited from a Division I perspective. Some FCS scholarship, some Pioneer Football League, and for whatever reason made the decision to come to the University of St. Thomas. So we already have a roster that some, not all, some could compete at the Division I level. And so, my sense is that, we're not going into this with our eyes closed at all. Our eyes are wide open. We've got a ways to go until we're competitive across the board in the Pioneer Football League. But I think if we do things right, we can get there. We can be competitive pretty quickly.
What I think is also interesting, noted this, it's probably got a lot of people to say, wow, I didn't realize that the St. Thomas is the second biggest university in the state of Minnesota behind only University of Minnesota, the Golden Gophers. So with that in mind, are there plans within your school, both athletically and academically, to grow into a recognizable brand and to continue to grow enrollment? Or do you like being the size of the school that you're at?
Yeah, I think the size of the school that we have right now, undergraduate enrollment of about 6,200, total enrollment with graduate students right around 10,000 is a pretty good size for us. We just added a College of Health, and so we may see enrollment grow a little bit. But interestingly, we're only one of six states nationally to have only one or fewer Division I athletic programs in the state, yet we're the 22nd largest state in the country. We reside in the 15th largest media market in the country, in the metropolitan area in the country. And so, I certainly believe that our community, our marketplace is ready to support a second Division I program. The University of Minnesota certainly has a stronghold on the state, and they will. They've got a fantastic brand, but again, I mentioned this earlier, as we think about the future of the university and its trajectory, certainly is of interest to us to grow that brand recognition nationally, whether that's stabilizing enrollment in the future or the ability to slightly grow enrollment over time. But it's as much about stabilizing our university's enrollment and financial position over time as it is anything else.
Phil Esten joins us, athletic director at St. Thomas. Let's ask you the question about the here and the now. Every college football fan is wondering, what does college football look like this season? Mm-hmm. From where you sit, what does college football look like for you this season?
Sure. Our conference has taken the position that we are going to continue to assess what's happening with COVID and both local and national guidelines around testing protocols and making sure that we bring our student athletes back in a safe way. And that's, of course, our very first priority, making sure that our student athletes, the health and welfare of our student athletes. I can tell you with the NCAA's guidelines around testing that were released late last week, I think it's going to be very difficult for a lot of football programs, particularly at the Division III level, maybe Division II level, I can't say for sure, to be able to afford to do that. You know, testing certainly has some scarcity to it, and there's a cost to testing. And with the frequency and pace at which the NCAA has suggested we do test our student athletes, and again, it's all for their health and welfare, it's going to be difficult for a lot of schools to afford that. And so I think we're getting close to a place where it's going to become really, really difficult for schools to compete in the fall. I think the good news is the NCAA has been really flexible in looking at whether or not we can continue to practice and work out in the fall, giving us an opportunity to protect our student athletes. You know, one of the things that I worry about is if we had, you know, we'd taken the spring off, didn't have spring football. If we take fall off, we really need to think about injury prevention as we roll into the spring next year. And even if we can move our season from the fall to the spring, we've got to do everything that we can to protect our student athletes from an injury perspective too. And so it's important to me that we find a way, even if it's pods or small groups or whatever, to continue to work out in the fall despite whether we have a season or not. But I think it's becoming more and more difficult to envision a fall season, particularly at the Division III level.
I know you're short on time, so this could be a quick one, but are you open-minded to a spring football season?
Without a doubt. You know, for me, I want to make sure that our student athletes have an opportunity to compete this year. And you know, first and foremost, like I said before, their health and welfare, would like to do it in the fall. But if for some reason we can't do it in the fall, you know, we'd certainly look to do that in the spring if we can. As we've discussed here, this is our last year at the Division III level, and we've been in this conference, the MIAC, for 100 years. And despite the fact that the circumstances are what they are, we'd really like to celebrate that century-long history with our colleagues in the conference. And we'd like to do it on the playing field if we can. And so if there's a way for us to compete in the spring, we certainly would take advantage of that.
Phil Esten is the AD at St. Thomas. They are making the jump from Division III to Division I. What a remarkable growth this should be, and what a really interesting college football and sports story in general to keep your eye on. Phil, this was really cool. Thanks so much. That's a great conversation. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.